Welcome to a 10-Minute Game Misconduct. I'm CT, here with Dory.
Hello.
Whose cat keeps video bombing our recording, but it's okay.
He's smacking things around the counter now.
He's like, Mom's doing something. It's time to play.
Yeah, he's like, what is this?
Anyway. So, much shorter game than the first game of the Eastern Conference seven quarterfinals, Lightning and Blue Jackets, only went to three periods. That was a short game.
It did feel like a short game. Like an hour and a half into it, I'm like, what? How are we this? It really threw off, I think, everybody's sense of timing.
Mine too. I was like, wait, we're playing again already?
Yeah. And then, you know, Boston and Carolina, they go to double overtime. Yesterday,
everybody back.
I mean, it's crazy.
Let's just touch on that real quick. The league did not put a buffer for multiple overtime periods escapes me. But nobody would have imagined anybody would go five overtimes, though.
Sure. But even if they
even
would
two
have gone,
overtimes,
yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, it's a 20-minute intermission or 15 or 20-minute intermission, and then, you know, I don't even 20-minute period, mm-hmm, until somebody scores. Maybe, mm-hmm, put a buffer in for two full overtimes. That's
you
like an
think.
Extra hour, maybe. Anyway,
I yeah, wonder because Boston and Carolina pushed, you know, went late, and then
it pushed the Washington Capitals, yeah, Islanders, is it Islander game back? Yep. And then whatever the game was last night in the Eastern Conference,
the Flyers and
it pushed.
Montreal,
I think it pushed them back an hour because everything, mm-hmm, was pushed back. Which Boston and Carolina shouldn't even been playing yesterday because the only reason they did is because we went into five overtimes. So it'll be interesting to see. Well, actually, when they go into the next round of play, there won't be as many teams on each conference playing, so they'll probably be able to schedule a little bit differently. But
yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure the league was like, oh, thank God they didn't go into overtime.
I know.
Along with Lightning fans too, because, you know, I'm sure there was some fatigue on that ice, but there's also, I think, some fan fatigue too. But
yeah, and that's a great point because we had talked about how much ice time these guys had played, and they come out in the first period in game two, and they looked pretty good. They were executing. They looked crisp. They looked like they hadn't played for 9 hours or
yeah,
6.5 hours or whatever it was. And we talked about Seth Jones having over 60 minutes in game one, and he played hard, mm-hmm, the whole game in, mm-hmm, game two. And I was really impressed by that. And then, so I guess we'll just get into the things that maybe we weren't so impressed with.
Well, you know, just kind of, if you didn't get to see John Cooper's post game, you know, he said they came out doing what they wanted to do. You know, they got a goal early in the first period.
Beautiful play.
Oh,
beautiful,
wow,
goal.
Yeah. Nikita Kucherov. Pretty. That was, mm-hmm, pretty. Yeah. But then he said he thinks maybe they got a little comfortable after,
yep,
that.
Yep.
So let's dive in real quick.
Yeah. I saw it. You saw it. Anybody watching it saw it. I'm sure, you know, the guys on TV saw it. You know, Dave and Phil saw it. Everybody saw it. It, mm-hmm, it was just they got really comfortable. And when you get really comfortable, you said this in our last show, when you get comfortable against Columbus or you start making a mistake, that's when they go after you.
Well,
and
they
that's what they did.
Here's the thing. I'm not knocking Columbus at all. But if you look at the skill, if you compare the skill of the two teams, the Lightning have, in my view, a lot more skilled players than Columbus. Mm-hmm. But just like any other John Tortorella team, they will outwork you. So, mm-hmm, if you make a mistake, they're going to find a way to capitalize on it. So there's a difference between getting comfortable for me and being confident. They looked comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Confident is nobody's going to score on us. Comfortable is like, oh, we got a goal ahead. We're okay.
Yeah.
You know, we can pretty much score at will, except, you know, five overtimes. You know, I think that kind of theory would go out the window. But
and
I
against
mean,
this guy.
Right. Korpisalo is playing amazing hockey. And I think he just tightened up after that first early goal and was like, nope, not letting anything through. And I mean, you look at the shots, you look at the chances, and you look at the hits. Lightning were leading in all of them. Faceoffs were pretty equal.
Yeah, pretty equal.
But I also do feel like as the game went on, we didn't have the puck that much. And you can't score if you can't possess the puck.
And Columbus was winning faceoffs that mattered. When it was important, they were winning those faceoffs.
Right.
And, you know, that's – I will say this. I got to a point in the third period where I just out loud in my kitchen said, you knew who they were, and you still let them do it. Because we know that Tortorella is going to have a defensively sound team. That's what beat the Lightning. That's how they beat the Lightning last year, was they just locked up on defense. And here it happens again. And when they tied the game, it felt like the Lightning were like, well, I don't know. That's just how it felt. Yeah. They all of a sudden, the effort was gone. I will say that Barclay Goodrow had a fantastic game. And that kid played with a lot of effort. Andre Palat played with a lot of effort. But I think he's one of those guys that plays with a lot of effort all the time.
Right.
But
Nick Foligno on the other team played a really good game.
Yes. Dubois. Holy gosh.
Pierre-Luc Dubois. Yep.
I mean, listen, they played very well. I'm not taking anything against this team. They are the Blue Jackets are really well coached.
Yes.
And in my opinion, this is just what I feel. I feel that this was a game that John Tortorella outcoached John Cooper. He had his players up. He had them giving 100% through the whole game. Even when they were down, it wasn't like they were just like, well, I'm tired. I don't want to do this. It's just the Lightning really came out with a lot in their tank.
Yeah.
I just feel like the Lightning knew what they were getting. They know who this team is. And they allowed them to continue with that type of lockdown defense. And I will say this. I thought defensively the Lightning played really, really well in game one. And today they didn't.
Agreed. Yeah, I think Hedman was tired.
Oh, yeah.
Can you blame him? And let me talk through this in my head because I'm just kind of – okay, so you have five overtimes, okay? You have the team that wins. Elation, feel like they can do anything, whatever. You have the other team who's scowling at the other team on the ice as they're celebrating, and they go off into the locker room, okay? Then you come out for another game. The team who won the overtime scores early. For me, that team who lost in the five overtimes because they're pissed off and then they get pissed off that the other team scored early, that's a dangerous team. And depending on the coach, it can go one of two ways. They can feel defeated, but when you're a John Tortorella team, I think when that kind of stuff happens, he uses it as a teaching moment. And, you know, he kind of goes up their back and down the other side. I think what happened today, I'm hoping that the Lightning coaching staff uses that, just like you said, as a teaching moment, because it shows the resilience of a team that is willing to outwork you. And then when they get ahead, they're going to shut you down. And they may not have all the flashy scores on their team and all this stuff and these award winners, but they're going to outwork you and they're going to shut you down. So you can't let them have an inch because they're going to take advantage of it.
Exactly. I was just about to say they may not have the skill of the Lightning, the players, because I do agree with that. And I've said that openly. I don't think they're as skilled as the Lightning. They're obviously very good hockey players.
Yeah. When you get to that level, everybody's a good hockey player.
Yeah,
but then you think of the elite skill level.
Right. You know, they don't have a Braden Point. They don't have a Nikita. That's what I mean.
Like,
they don't have those guys. But you know what? They're opportunistic.
Yep.
Because they didn't have as many chances as the Lightning. It was, 37 to 22 shots?
Something like
on
that,
the Lightning?
Yeah.
And they scored three goals. I mean, that means that, you know, Cooch only stopped 19. I mean, that's how math works, right? But they're opportunistic with those shots and they're opportunistic with those goals. And they take the chances when they, you know, they take advantage of things. There were a lot of giveaways on the Lightning. I wouldn't even say takeaways. I would say they were giveaways. They were just goofy
blunders.
Yeah, blunders.
Yeah.
And they took advantage of that. And, you know, a team that's mentally prepared and, you know, has that mindset of we have to win this game.
Right.
We'll do those things. And I obviously, you know, here's the good thing. It's now a 5-game series.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're not going back and forth.
Here. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's the other thing.
We're not going into Columbus.
But the later the series goes, there is one back-to-back game if a game is needed, where they play one day and they play the next day. Every series has a back-to-back game, and it just depends on where in the series it lands. But
the good thing is they're not traveling.
They're not. But technically, we've already played 3 games when you think about how long the games have been in the series. So, you know, I was encouraged by Coach Cooper's demeanor in the post-game press conference. He was very calm.
Yeah.
Very even-keeled.
Mm-hmm.
Not looking like he's panicking, because I don't think this team responds well to that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't look like they responded well to it last season, you know, in the playoffs. So I like an even-keeled John Cooper, because I feel like they know what they need to do. Now you just need to go execute. And I feel like they lost their game a little bit in the middle of the second period.
Yeah, it was about the middle of the second is where, to me, it all kind of went downhill.
Exactly. So I think they got out of their system. And in the overtime, 5 overtimes, you know, taught them. And I think even one of the players said, we stayed within our system and we just had to keep grinding and it would pay off. I think they lost their system in the middle of the game tonight. Maybe it's because of fatigue. Maybe it did catch up with some of them. Which is understandable, but I think they need to believe that they are a better team. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that they believe it.
I think they're a very humble team. And I think, you know, one thing that Boston has, Philly has, they kind of have that swagger a little bit. And I don't think the Lightning have a lot of swagger. I think they're a very humble team. They're very most hockey players, not all, but most hockey players are humble to begin with. But I feel like the identity of the Lightning is kind of they're the humble underdogs, even though if you line it all up, they've been the best team in the, you know, Eastern Conference for how many years, right? I just feel like they don't have the swagger that at times. They don't have the swagger that a Boston has, where Boston goes out there and you're like, ugh, why are we afraid of Boston? Because they have that swagger, because they make you feel, they intimidate you just with the feeling they give when they, the energy.
Right.
And the Lightning don't have that.
Hmm.
I think they have it at times, but I don't think it's consistent, and they have to figure out how to have swagger against a team that they're better than.
Do you think that maybe, I don't know. I don't know that I like a Lightning team with swagger, because I feel like they had that coming into the Stanley Cup playoffs last year, and we all know what happened there because they were the best team in the league.
Yeah, but I don't even know if they had swagger then. It was just kind of...
I feel like swagger and confidence are two things.
Yeah.
And swagger and confidence and having an edge are three different things.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like an edge, having an edge to them.
Right.
Maybe swagger is not a good word to use, but like having an edge. And I don't think they have one.
I think we're seeing a little bit of that edge come out by all the times that we're seeing Pat Maroon mentioned during a game, by all the times we're seeing Barclay Goodrow mentioned during a game. Those guys who get in people's face, Yanni Gord, when those guys get in people's faces and throw them off their game, mm-hmm. that's when teams are able to win games. I don't know who those people are for the Columbus Blue Jackets right now, but I feel like guys like Maroon, Goodrow, Gord, Paquette are really going to have to play a major role to give them that edge.
Here's the crazy thing. When it comes to the hit department in game 2, the Lightning had 38 hits. to the Columbus 15.
Right, but you're going to hit more when you have the puck less.
No, that's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true. I mean, I don't know. They don't have a possession, time of possession, but I'm pretty sure that went.
Yeah.
That went to Columbus.
So I think we're going to find our edge, our swagger, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not when those four guys I mentioned are able to unleash, because we know they're just as skilled as the rest of the guys and they can play just as hard of a game, you know, as the rest of the lineup. But when they are really difference makers, I think that's going to be the edge that we need. And that in turn is what gives us the swagger you speak of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Edge. Maybe edge is a better word. Edge is better than swagger, because swagger makes them sound like a bunch of jerks.
Right.
We don't want that.
When you're talking about
like
Boston,
edge.
That makes sense. Well, but, you know,
they just have one real big jerk. I mean,
Carolina, they call themselves a bunch of jerks.
Is that what they call?
I think they have that on like a t-shirt and stuff. By the way, did you say Rob Brind'Amour got fined $25,000 for his post-game conference comments on the refs? I think he called the NHL a joke. Yeah, that'll get you fined $25,000. Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest, like I read the entire comment, like the transcript. He's not wrong.
No, I mean,
in that situation, he's not wrong. He asked, what is the call? They wouldn't tell him what the call was. He's like, well, it's got to be one of two. Tell me which one it is. I mean, he's right.
I blamed him.
Yeah.
It's really, if you want to kind of get into the weeds on this, guys, just Google Rod Brind'Amour call or fine and read the transcript of what went on.
I also mean, watch the play.
Oh, yeah, that too.
He's right. It could have been a hand pass or it could have been goalie interference. It was,
and the ref wouldn't answer him. And they didn't call either.
Yeah, yeah. It's wild.
And he didn't get called for that. Like, he didn't get fined for that. He got fined for his post-game press conference comments about it because he said the league is a joke.
The league is a joke when it comes to things like this is kind of how he said it.
And I kind of got to agree a little bit, but whatever. I don't have $25,000 to pay the league. So
yeah, right?
So there's that. But really kind of interesting. And again, John Tortorella, the tale of two Johns, seems like. John Tortorella and his staff are in warm-up suits again. So, cool.
I'm telling you, it's a thing.
Track suits. It's, I feel, very 70s, you know? Like.
Oh, I wanted to talk about something.
Yes.
I said after game one that I really wasn't disappointed in the Lightning anything. Really wasn't anything I could say. But then it dawned on me today. There is something. And I'm really concerned about their special teams play. And I think the exhaustion of game one, it kept jumping out at me throughout the game. And then kind of, you know, the elation of the win and then the exhaustion of that and then processing it all.
Yeah.
It just kind of, you know, we didn't really talk about that.
Yeah.
They have to figure out how to score on the power play.
Right.
The end. And they have to figure out not to give up a power play goal every game.
Yeah, I mean, I think I heard that Columbus didn't score a power play goal in the the qualifiers, I think. Or there was some, they were not very successful in that first round of games.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've scored two against the Lightning. So. Yeah, we need to get our power play clicking like it was before the break and our penalty kill for sure.
Yeah, it's really, really irritating me. But that was one thing I wanted to kind of, I thought about it when we got off our, when we stopped recording and I was like, oh, I should have brought that up. I don't think I did. I'm pretty sure I let it go. I was letting a lot of things go.
I mean, I think we are all just exhausted.
But I'm actually terrified now. But there was a time.
Really?
Where,
are you?
Yeah. When it comes to the powered plays and penalty, there was a time where I was like, okay.
Yeah.
These guys are going to kill it left at, because they're, you know, for 2-3 seasons now, have been really good penalty killers.
Right.
And I mean, it got to a point in game two where I was like, ooh, gosh, don't feel good about this. I mean, there's 5 games left. It's a 5-game series now. There is no travel back and forth. There is no home ice advantage. There's no, you know, any of that. So I think it's going to be pretty even. That's why I don't, you know, you can't give an advantage, like a rink advantage, to either team.
Right.
But they've got to play 60 minutes of hockey. And I think this is something we've talked about a lot, even before the, you know, the hiatus. Mm-hmm. They have to play 60 minutes because they don't.
Right. And it was something I think one of the guys, one of the players mentioned at one of the post-game press conferences in their round robin, where, you know, they need to put together a 60-minute game.
Yeah.
And now is no better time than any to put together a 60-minute game. Especially this season, because I feel like more than any other season that we have ever seen in the NHL, the Stanley Cup is anybody's at this point. Yeah. With that 4 or 5 month break, whatever it was, that really kind of wipes the slate clean. I mean, mm-hmm. and it's anybody's game and mm-hmm. anybody's chance to win at this yep. point, more than any other season I think we've ever seen. So
nobody has a home ice advantage anymore because nope. Toronto's out and Edmonds is out.
Even then, I wouldn't even consider it home ice advantage either.
Nah,
I mean, some familiarity with the arena and yeah. maybe the boards,
the staff,
how the pucks bounce, yeah. but yeah. you know, they're all quarantined. And so, mm-hmm.
yeah, I think they'll be okay. I did
game
say
game three, I think is going to be like a huge, I mean, duh, turning point because they're tied 2-2, but I think whatever happens in game three will dictate the rest.
I think
series.
So too. I was about to say that.
Oh, sorry.
Believe it or not, I'm about to say it. No, it's fine.
We're right here. We are yeah. seeing eye to eye.
Always. Usually not.
Yeah, I know. I did want to mention, did you see the story about Claude Julien, the coach
yes.
of the Montreal Canadiens?
Yes. He's very in the sad.
Yes, he's in a hospital right now. We've gone up against him a lot. He's, you know, he's the coach of the Montreal Canadiens. He took the Bruins to the Stanley Cup in 2011. So, Lightning fans, you're very familiar with Claude Julien. He is in the hospital as of this recording. He was rushed to the hospital after last night's game that Montreal played with chest pains. Nobody's saying any more than that, but, you know, so just sending well wishes that way to their coach and, you know, some guy, a guy who's made history in the NHL for sure. So, mm-hmm. And I think one of the stories I saw said they don't think it's related to COVID, but you just never know these days. But now he's out of the bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought I had read a comment that he's probably done for the
wow.
rest of the series.
Okay,
just with everything going on.
Yeah, so they're gonna have somebody step in. I've read the name of the Bergevin.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the general manager?
Yeah, I think so. Let me look it up.
Here, Dory, say something enlightening while I pull up the article again.
I think this is kind of a fun fact. The next game is at 7 p.m.
7:30. Pre-game is 7 o'clock.
Yeah, pre-game is 7 o'clock. Okay. And I always try and catch the pre-game.
Yes, Montreal general manager Marc Bergevin.
There you go.
Filling in. Sorry. Go ahead. Yes. Game's at 7:30.
Which is going to feel really weird. And Dave and Phil kind of were joking about it in the post game. Like, oh boy, it's a late one. It starts at 7:30. You know, because it's these 3 o'clock games and then, you know, 4 o'clock doing the round robin. And now it's like 7:30. Oh my gosh.
I know. People are still working. Hello.
I know.
And then Monday, game four will be at 3 o'clock. So it's just very different. I'm guessing, so we're at 16 teams, right? So we'll go to 8 in the next round. So I'm hoping, yeah, I think at that point then it'll be a game every day and they can do one game a day.
I'm hoping.
If my math is right. I'm not a math person.
That's how math works.
Is that how math works? Okay, yeah. Cool. Okay. All right. Well, Dora, you got anything else you want to say before we go? Because this has gone more than 10 minutes.
Yeah. Nope, I don't. I think I said everything I have to say. And if you want to direct your anger at me out there for saying the Lightning don't have the swagger, when I corrected it and said edge, that's fine. You can do that on Twitter if you want. At Dory LeBlanc.
Oh, good. Okay.
Or you could do it at Game Misconduct.
Yeah. And if there's anything that you're seeing as well, that you kind of want to mention, please do so. We'll give you a shout out on the podcast, and share it with your friends. Also, you know, write a review. Tell us what you think so other people can find us too. We're having a great time spending this time of bubble hockey with you. It's kind of the way we all feel connected because nobody's there.
Yeah.
So we're being the distant thunder with you guys. So thank you so much for listening. We will catch you probably Sunday with a recap of game 3. So look for that on Sunday at some point. And we will recap the action between the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And it technically will be an away game for the Lightning, but there's really no away when it comes to bubble hockey. And we will catch you next time on Game Misconduct.